to be here. Appreciate so much John and Karen inviting us. Was anyone here in 2004? 2004. You might remember me that I came with Anna. Remember, Anna brought me. And I remember it was just a great time. We were in a different place, though. And now you have all new people, except for one or two. So that's how churches do. But I want my encouragement this morning. Clifton's going to be preaching. And I do want to say a word about Dan and Nancy. Aren't they wonderful? Dan and Nancy Thompson, they live like 2,000 miles from us. So we don't get to see them except in conferences when we all get together in Colorado or some other place. And I want to mention Maureen. I don't know if y'all know her already. Oh, yes, yeah, so there you go. But probably not these people. Yeah, great. So she used to be the leader of this church. So anyway, I've known her since I've known Anna. And so she has been driven us mad. No, they've been awesome to us. We open our door in the morning and there's coffee and tea on a tray.
They're treating us too good. I don't want to leave.
I know. We're spoiled. She spoiled us. But I want to share something from 2 Timothy. This is actually to leaders. But, you know, in the body of Christ, we're all a leader. We're all called to go. We're all called to preach. We're all called to share this wonderful love of God that we've been singing about this morning. And so, even though Paul was telling Timothy this, it's for everybody. And this was the last letter that Paul ever wrote before he was martyred. And so I used to think, you know, if I knew that I was going to be martyred and I was going to write a letter to my kids and my family, I would say the most important things on my heart. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's what we do. And so I've studied this and really meditated on this. It's just four short chapters. I'm just going to look in the last chapter, the very last chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. So he's telling them to preach the word. He's telling them to always be ready to preach the word. The King James says, be instant, in season, out of season. Here, this new King James brings it up to be ready. And I don't know what the Passion would say there, but who read the Passion this morning? We love the Passion. The Passion Translation, TBT. Y'all need to get a copy, or you can get it on your phone.
How many has got that on your phone?
Yeah. It's just so awesome. It is just really...
Let me give you a reading assignment. Read Romans 5, chapter 1, or first verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Oh, man, that is so good in the Passion. So good in the Passion.
So he was telling them...
I'm preaching, but read it later.
Yeah. Wait till you get home. So he's telling them to preach the word, to always be ready, and to convince, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So we don't like that word. But I'm telling you, if you're in the ministry, if you're a Christian, there's long suffering involved. Long suffering. We've been in the ministry 41 years, been married 50 years.
Come on.
50 years in June, we've been married. Got into the ministry 9 years into the marriage, and we've traveled all over the world and have an evangelistic ministry in the United States, plus our church. And our son, who was on drugs and in prison, God visited him in the prison, and now he is set free, delivered, preaching the gospel, and has taken our place this very morning as associate pastor in our church.
Amen.
We had an ordination service for him, and we are just flying high. All of the persecution that you go through and all of the long suffering that ministers and everybody, all of that we have to do, it's okay. Because in the end of that rainbow, there is a pot of gold. And there is a rainbow, which is a promise to us. We have promises from God. But Paul, he went ahead here, you know, and he said, now listen, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. and the time of my departure is at hand. But this is his confession. He said, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. And so some people feel like they're failures, and they feel like they haven't kept the faith. But if you keep going, for God, you have kept the faith. You've kept it. I can say that I have kept the faith, even though at times I wanted to quit. We all want to quit sometimes. And you know, Jesus, when he was in the garden, I mean, he wouldn't have quit ever, clearly. But when you sweat drops of blood, I think you're thinking, I wish this wasn't happening. And he said, listen, if there is any way, if there's any other way, God. But nevertheless, you know, your will, God, not mine. And that's what we need to always pray. God, your will, not mine. Yeah, I'd like to quit, but God, what's your will? And when you stick with it, there is a surprise out of that Cracker Jack box. Do you have Cracker Jacks over here? Look, at she's looking confused.
Don't be saying stuff like that.
No, that's a Jack in the Box. No, a box of Cracker Jacks are caramel-covered popcorn.
They've been around forever.
And peanuts.
Square box, and they have a little prize.
They always have a prize, you know. So anyway,
I always just got them for the prize.
He said, "I fought the fight," and he said, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those you who have loved his appearing, who look for his appearing." It's for everybody, this crown of righteousness. And he said, he was telling Timothy to come as fast as he could, you know, come. And he told him then, he was telling him who to avoid. There are people, sadly, in the churches who cause a lot of trouble. He said, everybody left me. He said, verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Listen, it doesn't matter if, and even David in Psalm 27 said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So no matter who forsakes you, what does he say? No matter who, he said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And so he was telling him to bring him some stuff, some books and things like that, parchments. And then he said, listen, do your utmost to come before winter. And it just speaks here that, you know, people are waiting for us to come to them before winter season of it being too late. You know, we need to work while we can. We need to get the word out there while we can. We need to go ahead and preach to people, speak to people. The enemy brings things against us to stop us. Amen. But if we don't stop, and we can't be stopped if we just decide to go ahead because the Lord's with us. No matter who neglects us or forsakes us, the Lord is with us. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I could preach more, but my husband has a message.
Amen.
Thank you all. We love you all. We just love you because we love John and Karen, and we know the message that's being preached here. And it's a message that needs to go outside these doors. And it's easy to really talk to people about the Lord, because a lot of people don't have the right idea about God. They think, most people, if you stop people on the street, most of them think that God is mad at them. They think they're not good enough, and on it goes. But we have the message of truth that God loves everybody.
Amen.
He wants everybody in his family. And they're not going to know it unless we tell them. You know, it's up to us to do that. I was able to lead a young man to the Lord. Was that just yesterday? Yesterday. But other people had been planting seed into him. It was so easy. You know, I was talking to him and about being saved. And he said, well, he'd been thinking about it. And I said, well, if you've been thinking about it, then why can't we just, he said he was thinking about praying. I said, well, why not pray with me right now? Would you like to just pray with me right now? And he said, well, yes, he would. And he got saved right there on the spot.
Amen.
And I said, now you tell your mother, because the mother had brought him there. She had told me about him before. And she brought him to this little home meeting that we were having. And
and he probably didn't want to come.
I'm sure he did not want to come, but he left there a new man. And he did tell her all about it. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. I love my wife. You know, I tell people I overmarried. Come on. You'll get that directly. It's like the Cracker Jack box. you know, I've got a lot of things I was going to say, and I lost my little notepad that I wrote all them notes on coming out here. I think I did. I don't think I put it in my pocket. I did, but I don't know where it is. Anyway, I just got a sketch of what I'm going to do. You see me a while ago doing this? I'm speed reading. I want to talk to you today. How many in here has ever led someone to the Lord, ever prayed with anybody and had them saved? Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that the most wonderful feeling in the world? And you know, the reason why is we're fulfilling the commission that the Lord has given us when we do that. You know, when we lead somebody to Jesus, then we're reproducing, amen, what God produced us for. And when you begin to see that and do that, you know, it's just an rewarding thing. I wouldn't trade sitting in somebody's house and just taking hold of their hands and leading them to Jesus. And all the times I've preached in churches and seen people come forward, you know, that's okay. But there's nothing like personal witness to people and sharing your heart on what God has done for you. You know, a testimony is not what you do for God. A testimony is what God's done for you. And, you know, everybody can relate to that. Some people can't relate to what somebody else has done for God, but they can relate to what God has done for you, because they need it too, don't they? Everybody needs the Lord. And so I was down in Kentucky one time doing some meetings, and me and the pastor there were traveling around in Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is really country. I'm country, but I'm north of Kentucky. And can you understand me all right?
Yeah.
Because I may say some things you don't understand, but if you can understand me, you can understand the word from me. But anyway, I was down in Kentucky, and we'd been going out, and those people down there, they most of them are farmers, and they raise tobacco, you know, the tobacco that people smoke. And so I never seen so many smokers in my life. When you go down there, they're keeping the industry going, amen, because they, you know, they figure if I'm going to raise tobacco, I need to smoke it. And so anyway, a lot of smokers down there. We'd pull up in a area, and I'd just walk out in a tobacco field and start talking to the farmers and talking to them about Jesus. And I saw something that in every person that you talk to, I saw something that they all had in common. And let me show it to you here in the Word. How many is familiar with John 4, 1 John 4, 4, where it says the greater one, you know, lives in us. Come on. And so I was back in my room, and I was just studying the Word, and I began to read this, and let's just read from the first verse on down. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, a lot of people that's teaching, even people say they know Jesus, they're still teaching stuff that is not beneficial to people. And so anyway, it says, "There are many false prophets. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Every spirit that says it's Jesus that saved us, every spirit that says that Jesus was God and he come in the flesh, amen, that spirit is of God. Now, and every spirit that confesses that, okay, now, And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard. No, wait a minute. And every spirit that confesses that not that Jesus came is in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should be that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I was thinking, I'll just ask you this. How many has witnessed to somebody? Maybe you haven't led anybody to the Lord, but how many has witnessed to somebody and try to tell them about Jesus. And when you start talking to them, you can talk to them about cars, you can talk to them about sporting events, you can talk to them about anything, and you'll have their ear, and they'll be listening to you. And then you mention Jesus, and there's a wall built up. Amen. Come on, have you had that? You'd be talking to somebody in the grocery store, you know, and be talking about everything, and mention Jesus, and they say, "Well, moving right along, you know, I got to go." And that's that spirit of Antichrist. You know, there's not a spirit of anti-football. Come on. And whatever sporting event you have over here that's big, there's not a spirit against that. But there is a spirit of Antichrist. Amen. When you mention Jesus, there'll be a barrier built up between you and the person you're talking to. And so I was studying that, and I thought, hey, wait a minute. It says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I thought, you know what? If I'll just listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll give me something to say that'll break down that barrier. He'll cause me to be able to say something to them that blocks or takes that barrier away so I can minister to them the things of God. And so I thought, that's good. So the next day, I went. Me and this guy went out, and we come up to a place. He said, we were looking for somebody to talk to. And he was telling me about an American Indian that had a child, and he was sick, and they actually called the church and asked people to pray for him, and they prayed for him, and the baby lived because they didn't think he was going to live. I said, well, that's where we need to go. We need to go talk to him. He wasn't saved. And so we went down to his place, and it was way down in the country, and we saw a flock of turkeys go by the road when we got down there. And so we got inside, and we started talking, and we said something about those turkeys, and that guy knew everything there was to know about a turkey. And he talked about hunting, all this stuff, and I stand there watching, you know, and finally the Lord said, you're not here to talk about turkeys. And so I stopped the conversation, and I said, you know, this man here is the pastor of a church down here. I said, I'm down here evangelizing, and I said, surely you don't think that we come in here to talk to you about turkeys. And he said, no. And he knew, see. Well, I said, so are you born again? And I said, are you saved? He said, no. And I said, and I'll say this to people. I'll say, why in the world not? Why wouldn't anybody want to be saved? I mean, you know, if the two options we have is heaven and hell, now which one would you rather be in? I mean, you know, I mean, it's crazy to me that a person's lost when they could be saved. And so I said, why not? He said, I'm not ready. And us before, I would just sit down and say, well, he's the one that knows, and I'm in his house. Come on. You ask somebody something, you think, well, that's a guy that knows whether he's ready or not. And so I started to sit down, and the Holy Ghost, say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost kicked me in the seat of the britches.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Not from the outside. He's on the inside of me. He kicked me in the whoop. And I thought, that's where the Pentecostals get their jerk, you know. The Holy Ghost kicking them. Anyway, he kicked me in the seat of the britches, and he said, why are you taking a lost man's opinion of me? And I thought, that's what we do. When that spirit of Antichrist comes up and he starts talking, we're taking that opinion of God rather than the opinion that we have of him. And so I said, wait a minute. I said, you may know a lot about turkeys, but I said, I know a lot about God. And so I said, you know, let me just check on you here just a minute. Let me give you a little test. I said, your opinion of God has got you lost and on the way to hell, and my opinion of God's got me saved and on my way to heaven. I said, who do you think's got the best opinion? And he said, well, you have. I said, that's right. Now you need to let me tell you. So I took him from Genesis to maps. I mean, I took him from the front of the Bible clear to the back and gave him the whole plan of salvation, and he got saved. And I thought, man, that's the way that works. You know, that's the way that Holy Ghost inside of us works. And then in the same part of the country, this other preacher took me to this farmer. He milked cows for a living. I mean, he had, I don't know, 40 or 50 head that he milked twice today. And he was real backward. He was real, you know. But his wife came to this guy's church, and she said, would you come out and talk to my husband? Well, they couldn't tell him I was going to talk to him, or he wouldn't have showed up. That's how back he wouldn't talk to me. And so when he pulled in, we was in the house talking to this his wife and her sister. And when he pulled in, he come in the garage, and she said, you need to catch him in the garage, because if he gets in the house, he'll go hide somewhere. And so I caught him in the garage, and I started talking to him. Well, I used to milk cows. Come on, I knew all the lingo, you know, be able to talk to him about cows. And so I used to milk cows. Never did like it very well, but I used to milk cows. And so we started talking, and he was just, you know, right in the middle of talking about the butter fat and all this stuff. I said, "Hey, are you saved?" He said, "No." I said, "Why in the world not?" And he said, "Well," he said, I'm just not ready." Well, see, I was loaded for it, man. So I just leaned back on the Holy Ghost. Come on. I just leaned back on the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, "Tell him this." I said to him, "You know what? I said, there's only one thing I can think of that would be worse than dying and go to hell." He said, "What?" I said, "Milking cows till you got there." And he started laughing, and then he started crying, because that was a reality. Anybody that milks cows don't like it. I don't care who they are. You, they may like the money, but they don't like the milking. And so he started crying. And I said, "Would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Would you like to get saved?" He said, "Yes, I would." And so, you know, at least he's going to go to heaven now. Amen. He may milk cows till he gets there, but he will get some relief when he gets to heaven. And so, anyway, that spirit of Antichrist can be broken. You know, and so we need to, when we're talking to someone, instead of just taking their opinion, don't take a lost man's opinion to God. He don't know nothing. He's lost. You know, and so when he starts talking about why he's not saved, you just lean back on the Holy Ghost, because that's the spirit of Antichrist. Come on, can you see that? That's the spirit of Antichrist. And so we lean back on the Holy Ghost, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And he'll give you something to say to them that'll get them saved.
Yeah.
Praise God. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Now listen to this. I'm talking to you about soul winning today, whether you realize it or not. How many wants to be a soul winner? How many is a soul winner? Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you some things. Oh, this is funny. I was in Baltimore, Maryland, speaking to a great big, the biggest full gospel businessmen fellowship I'd ever been to. The director of that, what they call him, he was a grand poobah. His name was Reggie. And they had called me, somebody got a hold of one of my tapes and invited me to this. I mean, this was, you know, big potatoes for this small spud. And I was there, you know, and I was nervous, and I didn't know what I was going to say. And then they invited me. Now, Baltimore, Maryland is right there. I mean, people from Washington, D.C. come down. There was congressmen and all kinds of people there. And so I was teaching. They wanted me to teach the men. And so we brought the men over. And you know, I think the only reason they wanted me to teach was because they was too lazy. And so we had all them guys in there. They're sitting there with their legs folded. And I never can do that. You know, legs crossed with a notebook on their leg. And I'd have to lay down to do that. But and so I said, "How many of you in here would like to be a soul winner?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, we'd like to be, you know." I said, "Well, I'm gonna give you a sure-fired method on how to win souls." And I was sitting there praying about what I was going to say, and I didn't know what I was going to say. And the Lord said, "Go up there and tell them how to be soul winners." And so I thought, okay. So I got up there, and he didn't give me anything. He said, and then he started giving it to me. He said, "Here is the surefire way to be a soul winner." I said, "Are you ready for this?" I said, "You need to write it down, because you may forget it." And they was all sitting there, and I said, "Go!" Notebooks flew in the air. People scared of that to death. But you know what? If some reason, sometimes the reason that people are not winning souls is because they're not going. They're not telling people. Amen? And so I just went back and sat down. And I said, "That's my message." And Reggie got up there, and he looked around, and them people, them guys, you know, they were all standing around there, and he said, "You know what, Brother Coulter?" He said, "That's the best message I ever heard." And them guys come up repenting and getting on their knees and crying, you know, because they wanted to be a soul winner and didn't know how. Hey, Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." And you may say, "Well, I don't know anybody to witness to." There's creatures out there, I can tell you. Come on. I know a lot of creatures, don't you? There's creatures out there that needs to hear the gospel. And then and listen to this. This is in Mark, the 16th chapter. Jesus talked about all the things they could do. Go preach the gospel, you know. And he says, "And these signs will follow them that believe." you know, talks about picking up snakes and casting and laying hands on the sick and all these things. And then it says that then Jesus ascended into heaven and took his position at the right hand of the Father. Now, this is good. You need to write this. No, you don't need to write it down. But Jesus took it. The last thing Jesus said, come on, if you want to be a soul winner, if you want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, the last thing he said was go. That's the last thing Jesus said. He said, go and preach the gospel. Come on. That's simple, isn't it? He said, go and preach the gospel. And he took his position. He gave his commission and took his position. He gave us a commission and then took his position. And so here's what I say. If his position hadn't changed, is he still at the right hand of the Father? Then his commission hadn't changed. He's still saying the same thing. Go and preach the gospel. And you say, well, that's been a long time ago. It's only been 2 days. It says in heaven a day's like 1,000 years. So it's been 2,000 years ago. It was 2 days ago he commissioned us. Amen. And so it's fresh on his mind. And his position, when his positions change, maybe his condition, or when his position changed, maybe his commission will change. But until he changes his position, the commission is still the same. Go and preach the gospel. And then it says, he worked with them. They went and preached the gospel everywhere. And it says, and he worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, it's scriptural to pray for boldness. You know, it's scriptural. In Acts, the 4th chapter, after Peter and John, oh, I about turned that over. After Peter and John had walked by the gate of Beautiful and healed the crippled man, remember? They saw him. He saw the crippled man. And he was begging for alms. He said that was a good place to beg for alms. In other words, it's a good place to be a beggar. You know, there's a lot of people out there, amen, that are in a good place to be a beggar because they don't think there's anything left to offer them but to be able to beg from somebody and take what somebody has. And Peter and John said, you know, he said, Peter looked, he said, Peter fast his eyes upon him and said, silver and gold have I none. Come on, does that sound like any of you in here? He must have been a preacher. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. I've got this to give you. It's better than silver and gold. It's a whole lot better. He was getting silver and gold from people, and it didn't heal him. But he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And man, he jumped up. It said he jumped up, and he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. That one miracle by one man, amen, offering what he had to someone who hadn't been helped by anything else that to give him, but only helped by Jesus, 5,000 people got saved.
Thank you, God.
And the magistrates, the Sadducees, and you know, all the grand poobahs, amen, of the religious circle that day got upset. And so they pulled him in. And Peter and John started saying, you know, they said, if you're wondering why this man is standing here whole, he said, don't look at us. He said, he was healed by Jesus Christ, said, who you crucified. That's pretty bold, wasn't it? And so he told him that. And then they said, well, what are we going to do? That's this guy, this is really a noble deed that they've done, and so we don't want to do too much. Because the people's not going to like it, so they pull themselves off, and they decided, okay, threaten them. We'll threaten them and say, don't you speak in this name anymore. And Peter said, you know, whether I listen to God or listen to you, you decide which would be the best. You know, come on, you decide which would be the best. You know, people. Jerry, she taught in school, America, and they said, you can't mention Jesus. You can't mention anything. She talked to people. They was coming to her and wanting them to pray for her and stuff. You know, hey, you decide. You decide who you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to man? Come on. Now, let me say this. After today, because this is stirring in your heart, I know people, I know how Christians are, I know how much you love Jesus. After today, you're going to have a desire, amen, to want to tell people about Jesus. It just works that way. Come on. It just works that way. And you're, if you have already got a desire, you're going to have a greater desire. And so after today, you're going to have an opportunity, and you'll see people, and God's voice will say, go pray for that person. Go talk to that person. Go say something. The next voice that will come to you will be, I can't. I can't say anything to them. But let me tell you something. Satan speaks to you in first person. That's not, if God says you can, why in the world would you say you couldn't? You need to be like Peter. Am I going to listen to God, or am I going to listen to the devil? Am I going to listen to the one that tells me I can, or am I going to listen to the one that tells me I can? Come on. And so Satan will tell you that. And see, the reason I say he speaks in first person, because if he didn't, if he said you can't, we'd say, I'll show you. Come on. You see, the I can'ts, amen, is not from God. The I can'ts is from God. The I can'ts is from the devil. Are you listening to me? So here's what you need. You need boldness. You need boldness. And so after they had prayed for this guy, and they said, we're not going to, they said, well, they're not going to listen to us, so let's just threaten them and send them out. And so they got back to the group of people that they was running with, the church, and they said, you know, this is a terrible thing that they've decided to just do whatever they want to us. But they told God, they said, these threats and all these accusations are against your holy child. I guess God's attention. Come on. They was telling God, they was praying. They said, you know, these threats and these threatenings are against Jesus. You need to realize that when people reject you and don't receive what you're saying to them, it's not you that they're rejecting. It's that spirit of Antichrist, amen, that's rejecting the Jesus in you. Come on. It's nothing personal. That's why sometimes we don't realize that people can be used by Satan just as much as they can God. How many of you know that? It's not a personal thing. The battle is between Jesus and the devil. But we're on the winning side. Amen. Come on. And so when they said this to God, they said, you know, these threats and all these things are against your holy child Jesus. He said, so here's what we'd like for you to do. Grant us, he said, stretch forth your hand. Now, I told God this, stretch forth your hand and heal the sick. Stretch forth your, you know, so many times we get to thinking that healing is something we have to do, but healing is from God. You know, can we trust him to heal people? Yeah. I got invited to another full gospel businessmen's fellowship one time, and these people that invited me had been through a tent meeting I was having, and they saw me pray for a little girl, ear, and God healed her ear. She'd been deaf from birth, and God healed her ear, and so they decided, hey, man, this guy's the most anointed person we've seen, so they invited me up to this big meeting. And the full gospel businessmen meetings I've been going to be maybe 30, 40 people, and so when we got up there, I took my singing group with me, Jerry and the ladies, and I was walking in, and I was walking in beside this guy, and he said, man, do you know this speaker tonight? And I thought, you know, I'll just play him and see what's going on. I said, well, I don't, no, not really. He said, oh, and he went to going on, and I thought, when I got up there, I looked at the sign, I thought they'd got the wrong man. I didn't know the one he was talking about. I knew me. And so when we got in there, it was... They had me up at the Grand Poobah's table up in the front, and I sat down there, and they had all this food laying out there, and there I sat. Finally made it to the head table. And now I was sitting up there beside this guy, and he said, well, we're glad you're here. I said, I am too. And their food was just, I mean, they if they'd have took my order, they couldn't have got food any better than what I wanted. Mashed potatoes, come on, peas. And I always say this, my two favorite pieces of chicken, both halves. All the chicken I wanted, amen. And so I was sitting there, and I thought, I was getting ready to take a bite and I ate peas and potatoes. I don't know how you do it, but you eat with your left hand sticking on there with a knife. I eat with my fork. I eat like a person supposed to. But anyway, I always get me some peas and then I bank it with potatoes. And I had it like this. I can taste it before I bite it. Come on. I love mashed potatoes and peas. And I was getting ready to take a bite of it, and he said, So he said, see that table out there? There was a table full of older people at just one table. Everybody sat at a table, and then they turned their chairs around, you know, we got ready to minister. And I was looking at some people. I'd noticed them, but I hadn't really paid a whole lot of attention to them. They were older people, and they was all smiling. But nobody was talking. And they just... And I thought, that's a little weird. But anyway, he said, yeah. He said, we went around all the nursing homes. That's the old folks' home. And said, we got these people, and they're all stone deaf. Every one of them. Oh, man. I thought, I just look all like Oral Roberts. I'm not Oral Roberts. So anyway, I slid my plate back. And, oh, I couldn't eat a bite. All I could think about was them poor people. I thought, them poor people, those poor people. And so he said, aren't you hungry? I said, oh, I never eat before a minister. And so all I could think about was those people. And so all I had to do was give them a testimony, you know, of how I got saved. And so I was over here walking down. I was walking down this side of the wall and still thinking about those people and to give them a testimony. And right in the middle of a stride, I was stepping, and it was like I stopped. I know I didn't, but it's just like I stopped. I froze in time, and God spoke to me and said, how many people you ever healed? And I thought, well, none. He said, then why don't you let me do it? Is anybody in here today?
Yeah.
He said, why don't you let me do it?
Yeah, great.
And so then I got, then the man of faith and power was back, and I went over. I was even beating on their table. They couldn't hear me anyway. I was, bing, bing, you know, I was doing my thing, you know, giving my testimony. And then when I stopped, I said, bring those people up here. That was the first people I prayed for. I said, bring every one of them up here. And I just walked up and down through there, and directly God stopped me in front of one of them, and I put my fingers in their ear. I prayed for them. Anybody ever know Ernest Ainsley?
They're too young.
They're too young? I guess you are too young. Well, I won't lie to you about you. He was American, yeah. But anyway, I watched him one day on TV pray for this little boy. And so he put his fingers in his ears, and he says, thou, that's just the way he talked. Thou, that spirit, come out. And so that's what I did. I even said it that way, and because they couldn't hear me anyway. But I was talking to the deaf spirit, and she was healed. Bing, 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 went all the way down. Every one of them was healed. Praise God. And so I thought, you know, he's the one. Stretch forth your hand. God, you stretch forth your hand. I can stretch forth my hand and touch you, but if you get healed, it's God that does the healing, amen. And so we need to get to the place where we see that, amen, that it's God. You'll pray that. Now, here's what he said else. He said, and grant us boldness that we could preach the gospel, that we could proclaim the gospel, amen, to the people. So if they prayed for boldness, come on. If they prayed for boldness, then it's scriptural for us to pray for boldness. Now, but I do want to say this, and I'm going to pray for all of you, every person in here, if you'll let me, for boldness. And I'm going to tell you something, they will be a difference in your life. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because I've prayed for other people, and I've seen it. Amen. And so, but boldness, let me say this to you about boldness. How many has ever been around somebody that was a flake? You know what I mean about a flake?
None.
Well,
shoot.
You don't know about flakes? You need to move to America. You'd find a lot of them. Flaky people are people that turn people off instead of turning them on. You know what I'm saying? They turn people off. Have you ever been around a Christian that just turned you off instead of turning you on? You know, they're just pushy and just crazy. That's what I should say. Crazy, crazy Christians. And
who are they?
I don't know. She knows somebody. Anyway. But here's what I found out. I was praying one day for a group of people. I had two or three different calls out there, healing and baptism of the Holy Ghost, salvation and boldness. And so I was I just started down the line. I was going to the house there praying for people. I got to this great big guy. He was that tall, wasn't he? Great big and big old broad shouldered guy. And so I got up to him and I looked up at him and I said, what are you up here for, brother? He said, boldness. I thought, boldness? That guy was so, I mean, I don't know why he'd have to pray for boldness. He was so big, you know. And so, anyway, I stepped back, and when I stepped back, come on, the Holy Ghost spoke. Remember that Holy Ghost I was talking about? Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, boldness without faith is flakiness or craziness. Boldness without faith is craziness. And here's why. Now, when I pray for you for boldness, don't expect to just go out here and jump on the first person you see. But when he does tell you to do something, it's going to take faith for you to do it. And if you leave faith, that God told me, boldness without faith is flakiness or craziness, because boldness without faith leaves God out of it.
Yeah.
See, God wants us to use faith, because when we use faith, he's in it. If we don't use faith, we're doing it on our own.
Yeah.
Come on, you see that? Isn't that simple? And so when we see someone to talk to, you know, if it doesn't take a little bit of faith to say something to them, then especially if they're lost, then we need to back up and say, wait a minute, maybe this is just me. But then that faith comes, here's something the Lord showed me. It says, by grace are we saved through faith. By grace are we saved through faith. And so I believe any time that God tells you to do something, there'll be a door of faith rise up in front of you. And you can stay on this side of it and not get anything done. Or you can, by faith, step through that door. Amen? So when the door of faith rises up in front of you, amen, don't be afraid to take it. And step out in it. Another thing it says, that faith is the access into this grace where we stand.
Yes.
Your faith gives us access into grace. You can't, you know, if you've got the grace of God in what you're doing, you're going to get something done for God.
That's right.
When a person gets a calling on their life, he gives you grace to be able to do what he's called you to do. We don't have the grace of other people. Amen. We've got God's grace. We don't have the grace to do some things that other people do. He didn't give you that assignment. And so that's a special grace for that assignment. Amen. But there's always a special grace for soul winning. Amen. Because he said, what did he say? Go. I didn't say it as loud that time. Go and preach the gospel. Go. And I always said this in our church. I'd say, what part of go is it you don't understand? You know, I mean, how hard is that? How hard is that? And you're always around somebody that needs. I don't know. I've never been anywhere that I didn't find somebody that needed the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. And when you start operating in the Holy Ghost and start reaching out to people, your life is going to be so happy. You know, one of the things about going, it gets you out of yourself. It gets you out of yourself. You begin to see other people's lives touched and changed. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being a soul winner. There's nothing like leading people to the Lord. And don't worry if somebody don't get saved. No is as close to yes as you can get. But the reason a lot of people not getting any yeses is because they're not getting any no's. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Sometimes you'll get some no's, but one time you'll get a yes. And you know what God says about that? That all the angels in heaven, in the presence of all the angels in heaven, there's rejoicing when one soul. Now, if it's in the presence of the angels in heaven, who's doing the rejoicing? It has to be God and Jesus. They're doing a hoedown. Every time you lead somebody to the Lord, amen? I mean, they're getting with it. They're dancing when you lead somebody to the Lord. Thank you, Father. So, I'm going to end this right now. I'd like a line of people up here that'd like for me to lay hands on you for boldness. And you're going to receive it. You're going to receive boldness, and you're going to see a difference in your life, amen,
hallelujah,
when it comes to leading and talking to somebody about Jesus. Come on. You know, we got the greatest message there is. I know that John preaches it. Amen. I saw enough out of those songs to realize that you guys are full of grace, full of faith, and faith righteousness. You know you're right with God. Amen. Then we've got a message. We've got a great message. If all you see up here, all you sing was condemnation, don't bother to tell anybody about that. They've already got enough of that. Come on. But when you've got this grace message, amen, and the love of God flowing through you, we've got a message that the world can receive. When Paul was talking about the new covenant, I've been wearing this out this week, but it's so fresh to me because I hadn't really seen it that way. You know, God spoke and he said, this is the covenant that I'll make with Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put into them their minds, I'll put the law into their minds and in their hearts. And he said, and they won't have to ask, or they won't have to be taught who is the Lord, because they'll all, he said, and I'll be a God to them, they'll be a people to me. And they won't have to be taught who's the Lord, for they'll all know me from the greatest to the least. And you know what he said? Because, here's why they'll all know me from the greatest to the least. Because I'll be merciful.